This is the Video Film Podcast, and my name is Adam.
And my name is Jesse.
And yes, Jesse, there is snow here, as you were just asking.
When did it arrive?
I don't know, like 5 days ago, something
and
like that.
It hasn't left?
It will not leave until March or April.
That's my favorite Regina fact.
Yeah.
Is that your snow comes and then does not leave. Our snow comes and goes and comes and goes. And it's annoying because sometimes I will have, I don't know, like 3 or 4 inches of snow in my driveway. I'll shovel it.
Yeah.
And then I'll come out the next day and other people who haven't shoveled their driveway, it's perfectly clean because all the snow's melted.
Yeah.
And people are like, wow, you just shoveled that snow for no reason. I'm like, it was 4 inches of snow in my driveway. I had to shovel it.
Yeah.
They're like, you could have just waited.
Yeah, I tried that for a few years. All the years that I've been here, to be honest. I always am like, maybe it'll just melt on its own. And then after some guy came in and was like, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to call the city and have you fucking arrested because you're not shoveling the sidewalk around your building. And I'm on the corner, so it's the longest sidewalk ever.
Yeah.
Around all the way around from two streets. Mm-hmm. And so he threatened me and said that there'd be a big fine for me coming up. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll do something about it. And he was like, because I'm going to make you a special project of mine. And I'm going to watch. Yeah, then he kept going off.
Use the Josh Brolin line from No Country for Old Men.
And I'm like, and I just walked away. Because at that point, his first threat was enough. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't know, man. I'll have to deal with that. Yeah. But then he kept going. It wasn't good enough that I said, you're right, I'm wrong. He's like,
because they don't expect that. They expect you to fight, and they had a whole fight ready.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, we got to keep this fight going.
Yeah, and so I just walked away.
Good for you.
It was good for me.
You're the better man.
Yeah, just
did
not.
Did he start with, I'm going to sue you? Is that just what he came out with?
I don't know if it was, you're going to get sued or you're going to get fined. One or the other. Something.
Yeah.
Some sort of financial threat. And that's when I actually started paying attention. But
when you brought up money,
I think the first year that I was here, I noticed that it was the day after Halloween and it snowed and never stopped snowing ever again.
Nice.
And I was like, wow, that's different. I'm not used to that. So and then the next year, I think it snowed on October 1st and I was like, oh wow. But then it went away until into November. But basically, November hits, we're going to get snow, and it's never going to go away.
Okay.
Yep.
That's my favorite fact about your adopted homeland.
And it's only a fact because I told you. This is what I've observed, right?
Well, yes. It's a fact because you've told it to me, and you told it to me confidently.
Yeah. It hasn't... it's been like that for a decade. I've been out here for a decade, man. You believe that?
I can't believe that. That's crazy. You've been out there for a long time.
And the last time I saw you, we were in a movie theater together, I think.
Watching Avengers or something? The second Avengers? Was that?
No. I guess you could be right. You're close to the time. We went and saw Star Wars. The first Star Wars.
First Star Wars. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
And then remember there was a power outage?
Yes, right when Han Solo came on the screen.
Yeah, and he goes, Chewie, we're home. Credits. Yep. The screen, all the lights came on. We were like, that's how it ends? Weird.
Yep.
Yeah, that was fun. We're out.
Yeah, I remember that now. Shit, yeah.
I have a good memory. Then, you know, like we kissed and then I drove away. And you ran along behind the car.
Like a dog. I was chasing the car.
Uh-huh. So, what are we going to talk about today?
Ooh, I think we'll talk about Inherent Vice, a movie made by Paul Thomas Anderson in the year of our Lord 2014, and Buffalo 66, made by a madman named Vincent Gallo from 1998.
Sounds good.
Sounds like a plan. So I watched Inherent Vice for, I think it's only the second time. The first time, didn't get it, didn't like it, couldn't understand it. This time, I liked it. I concentrated as hard as anyone has ever concentrated on a movie.
Hey,
Like,
well.
just didn't divert my eyes from the screen. No distractions. I took in every time somebody was made a reference to the Golden Fang, even though there's four different Golden Fangs, it seems like, and I may be undercounting them. And I tried to see who all the characters were. I still didn't get the movie, but I thought it was funny. I thought it was really well made. It looks great. And I just kind of I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter that I understand instead of 10%, now I understand about 30%. I gave myself over to it. I concentrated as hard as I possibly could. And I'm a fan now. It's still not my favorite, or maybe even close to the top of the Paul Thomas Anderson movies for me, but I don't dislike it. I can say there's no Paul Thomas Anderson movies that I dislike now, because at first I would tell people it sucks. Now I won't.
I will.
Yeah, still not a fan.
No, I grew to hate it. Grew to hate
More.
it. Yeah, I remember disliking it, but thinking maybe if I watch it again, I'll enjoy it. And then this time through, I think I concentrated harder than anyone ever has before because I watched the first 25 minutes and then went, I don't know what the fuck's going on. And I stopped it and I went back and watched the exact same 25 minutes again. And it was much easier to follow when I did it that way. So I'm like, oh, maybe there is something good about this movie if I just had a paid if I had been quick enough to pay attention and follow it. And then it went on after the 25 minutes, and then I would get a little bit further in and go, I don't know what the fuck just happened either. I'd have to rewind it again. And I'm like, all right, it's taken me like 3 hours to get 45 minutes into this movie. This is ridiculous. And then I kind of and then I had to stop because I'd spent a half a day on it. And then the next day I'm just like, I do not want to finish this fucking movie. I don't care. It's not interesting. It's not funny. Like, there's funny parts in it, but because I'm trying to figure out what the hell is going on, the humor is completely lost on me. There were a few things that made me laugh, but then I'm just like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be laughing at that or not. I don't know.
I found a lot of things really funny this time I watched it. The first time I was like, none of this is funny, I guess because I was trying to figure everything out. But this time I found a lot of the things funny, and I would see things I didn't see before, like how the guys at the sanitarium are dressed as like Jesus and they have machine guns and they're chasing people around. And I was like, I'd never even caught that before. I was too busy wondering where the fuck he was all the time. And who he was going to see, and who's this person? Why is their name like Coy Della Veer or some shit like that? Like nobody's got a usual name, except I guess there's a guy named Bigfoot.
That's a normal name, yeah.
It's easy to remember. Everybody else's name is like Coy and Sangleet and.
I'm still trying to figure out why Bigfoot was dressed as a hippie doing commercials in the first 5 minutes of the t when I first the first time I watched it, I mean the first 25 minutes of this, I was like, that's a different guy. So they've got Josh Brolin playing two different characters, and I'm like, oh, I guess there's some reason for him playing showing up multiple times. Then the second time I watched the first 25 minutes, I'm like, no, they call him Bigfoot. It's the same guy. He's dressed up like a hippie. Maybe he's not really a hippie hater. And then I continue watching the movie, and oh, it's pretty obvious that he hates hippies.
He
So
hates
why
hippies.
was he dressed up like a hippie and doing a television commercial?
Because he's an actor. He's a wannabe actor. He doesn't want to be a police officer. He says something in that he has a line or something like, all the extra parts and commercial parts are drying up. And like there's a, I guess it's not too obvious, but it's supposed to be that he's kind of a, he doesn't really want to be a police officer. And I think he's mad at hippies because he wants to be kind of free like them, not hippies, but he wants to be an artist. And he can't, so he's extra mad at hippies. Like you see him in in the background, not in the background, but as an extra in an episode when he's watching TV, Adam 12. He's
I
just
just
kind of
assumed he
standing
was
there.
a consultant on that show and they let him stand in as an extra. I didn't catch that he was a wannabe actor and that's why he was in there as an extra.
Yeah, it's like one line where he says something like he's lamenting the fact that he can't get any acting work.
So you got to pay attention nonstop, and then you got to go, why did I pay such attention? What's happening in this movie? Who cares? I just
Yes.
couldn't get into it. And I
Yeah.
even, this is how boring this movie is. I even tried to read a synopsis from somebody explaining it and maybe
Okay.
hoping they would point out some things like, oh, this
Yeah.
symbolizes this, and this is about
Right.
freedom in America or some bullshit. And I got so bored with the synopsis that I'm like, I hate everything.
I got bored with this. I mean, it does like it's kind of I wouldn't say it's ingenious, but it's really well sort of intertwined, even though I don't I'm not going to say that I completely understand it, but it's basically about these different groups of people, all part of this Golden Fang, that are running a like a I don't know a vertical I think they do use the term vertically integrated sort of network to get people hooked on drugs and then get them off drugs and then get their teeth fixed by the dentist. So they're like it's like a I don't know what do you call it? Like a vicious circle of people making money off heroin users.
So
But
that's the conspiracy.
I think it is. I think that's the conspiracy
So
is
how
that
does the real estate guy fit into it?
yeah, I don't
The guy
know.
that goes, ha ha,
I don't know.
and that is the whole, that's what kicks off this whole movie,
Yeah,
is that the
he.
girl comes back and says, my boyfriend who's married, he hasn't gone missing at that point, but she's worried because his wife and his wife's boyfriend on the side are conspiring to do something to steal his money. So the girlfriend is worried about that, and she's also worried for her own safety. And then a little while later, they're like, both of them disappeared. So, okay. And then the movie finished, and I haven't thought about it until just now, but I don't know how any of that played out. Don't have any idea.
He may not be involved in it at all. I because I don't know because like Martin Short's character runs the dental part. That guy that you meet with the baseball bat runs like the heroin importing part. I don't know who owns the sanitarium,
Well, the
but
only thing
I
I guess the real estate guy, they said they were using something to what do you call it? Launder the money in one of the businesses that was that guy had set up to sell the real estate. They had a well, I'm just throwing that out there now. That's the only connection I can think of is that she said that prostitute house was a place that they laundered money through, the massage parlor.
Yeah, the massage parlor, yeah.
And that was on his property because he went out there trying to find somebody that was connected to him and he found all the Nazis.
Yeah.
It's just too much. I don't understand. That's fine if you're going to have an intricate
Yeah.
thing, but I just get the feeling that I'm supposed to understand all kinds of symbolism and stuff and messages and hidden meetings, and I don't care.
I would say, if I had to guess what the point was, is that you don't understand it, much like Joaquin Phoenix. You're always behind. You're always confused. You're always disoriented. You're just kind of stumbling around. Like that's the only thing I can think of. Because why put all that stuff in there? Like, why have the Nazis and all that stuff in there if not just to confuse you and have that girl just kind of coming in and out of the movie and like and Owen Wilson's character. I don't like Owen Wilson's character's everywhere, but he's just like a FBI informant. And I don't know like what he's informing on. I think maybe it's supposed to be the Golden Fang. I don't know.
What did you find enjoyable then?
I guess just how I realized it was funny this time that everyone was doing a good job. I liked that you were kind of just going along with it confused. This time I felt like Joaquin Phoenix's character, always just like, who's this person and why are they doing this? And I don't know. I think just concentrating on it, I felt like I understood why I was confused this time. Okay. I didn't just kind of give up on it. Okay, I'm trying to keep the threads. And then I started going like, oh, okay, now I get what Joaquin Phoenix is going through, because he's trying to keep all these threads together and he keeps hearing the Golden Fang and he doesn't know what's going on and he keeps getting these names and he doesn't know why they're like, I still don't understand like why Josh Brolin's partner got killed by the guy that Joaquin Phoenix kills. I don't know. Like, I don't understand a lot of it, but people just kind of keep coming in and out. Like, Josh Brolin's character just keeps showing up. And, at first you think he doesn't know anything, but then he knows, but he's kind of setting him up. And I don't know. It just, if you give yourself up to the fact that you're not going to figure it out, it seemed to me like a much better movie.
I disagree.
Okay.
If you're going to make a movie that's got all kinds of depth to it, and then you at least have to have a scene where Joaquin Phoenix kicks down the doors of a guns and ammo shop with a giant minigun and starts shooting in every direction so that I can just sit there and go, yes, awesome. This is fantastic. I can cheer at one point in the movie. In this movie, there was nothing to cheer for. It was just, you go from one scene to the next. And I did read that in the synopsis. Like, you're not supposed to take it as a whole. You're supposed to take it as a bunch of little segments. And I'm like, well, then why do I don't want to. I don't want to take it as a bunch of little segments.
Yeah,
fuck
I don't
you.
Agree with taking it as segments.
Like, it's not even meant to be understood as a whole. It's meant to be just focused on one little segment at a time. And, I mean, it's purposely confusing to me when you're trying to watch one segment where they're talking about names. They're throwing out names and they're saying, oh, that guy, he turned up dead. We didn't show you that, but he turned up dead. And you're supposed to go, oh, that was Martin Short's character? Okay.
Yeah.
While they're doing that, they always have something else going on in the scene, like Josh Brolin sucking a dick, right? There's always some other thing going on in the scene that you're like, you're focusing on the weird stuff happening in the scene, and you can't pay attention to all the names and the places and the things that you're supposed to remember from an hour before.
But I think that's telling you that you're not supposed to remember. I don't think the movie is deep. I think that's the problem.
Well,
is that if you look at it like,
then make it enjoyable. If it's not even going to be deep or enjoyable, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know what
For me, when I gave up on deep, it became enjoyable. When I was just like, I don't think it matters, all this stuff. like all these people and what they're doing and where they are and where they're going and what relation they are to the cases, like Michael Kenneth Williams shows up for one scene and you're like, what the fuck? Like, what's he doing? What's this? What does he want from Joaquin Phoenix? I don't know. But then you're like, oh, it's just whatever. It's just another thing to confuse you.
Well, that guy shows up to hire Joaquin Phoenix to go after somebody that was in the jail with him, who was one of the Nazis, who owes him money. He stiffed him on a deal. The only reason I know that is because it was within the first 25 minutes. So I watched it twice. So I knew exactly what that was about. He just shows up and says, there's a guy that owes me money. And then Joaquin Phoenix says, like, well, if you know where he is, why don't you go get the money from him? And I can't remember why he says he doesn't want to, but he sends Joaquin Phoenix. And then Joaquin Phoenix shows up at a massage parlor. Two girls start having sex in front of him. And then somebody hits him on the head. And then he wakes up next to the body of the guy that he was sent out there to find. So I don't know who killed that guy. I still don't know who killed him.
Okay. Well, let's try and find him. I have to assume the person who kills pretty much everybody in this movie is that guy with the baseball bat.
Okay, sure.
I can't tell you why, but he seems to be the person who's doing a lot of bad deeds.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, you don't. And especially the first time you watch it, like you were saying at the first, like, Josh Brolin shows up as a hippie at first. And the first time you watch it, I guess you're like, oh, okay. It's Josh Brolin, or maybe you don't know it's Josh Brolin. I probably didn't. Dressed up as a hippie on the TV. And I think they do refer to him in the voiceover, right? As like Bigfoot's doing ads or something like that. But
Yeah.
then you meet Josh Brolin and it's a completely different character. And I'm sure you're supposed to be disoriented the first time. You're like, why is he, if you put it together, you're like, why is he now a normal cop looking guy, not a hippie?
Yeah. And that happens in the first 10 minutes. Then you got another 3 fucking hours of confusion coming at you every 60 seconds. So buckle in. I just don't know. Yeah, I can't. I don't mind a confusing movie where you can sit down afterwards and be like, what was that guy doing? Why did that character show up? Who ended up killing that person? I don't mind that at all. I enjoy that, talking about a confusing movie. But just the fact that I was like, I don't want to watch another 5 minutes of this movie. I don't care. And I don't care. So, and then I know that it's going to end and they're not going to reveal anything. It's just going to end in like a weird spot to end the movie. And then it's going to go PTA. So you have to love it. And I'm going to go, you know what? I don't have to do anything. Fuck you.
Don't tell me what to do.
I
Okay.
don't know. It did piss me off.
Did you watch One Battle After Another?
No, it's not out yet. I mean, it's out in
Oh, okay.
theaters, but it's not out in
Okay.
streaming.
It's not even streaming. Okay, so you haven't seen that.
No.
Okay. I was
But
gonna
I did
ask
watch a
you.
great movie called The Smashing Machine.
Ooh,
It's
with The
great.
Rock.
Yeah, it's great. I enjoyed it.
Okay, I've heard a lot of different things about that. I've heard The Rock is really good. I've heard it doesn't it's not much of a movie.
Okay, I
The
can
Rock
see.
is very good. That's
Yeah, remember when we
mainly the
watched Red
consensus.
Belt? And we walked into the theater, and the guy wearing the UFC shirt was like, fucking bullshit. Because that guy thought that he was in for a UFC movie, and then he got a David Mamet twist ending, confusing con job
Con
movie.
movie,
And he was like, what the fuck was that, man? I wanted to see some takedowns and some grappling or something. I don't know what he wanted.
Yes, which there was, but not
This is not a
that kind of
con.
movie.
This is not like a con movie or anything. It's not a David Mamet movie, but I could see
Yeah.
people going and being like, yeah, The Rock. He's in a wrestling movie, man.
Yeah.
He's gonna fucking, yeah, UFC movie. And
Yeah.
it's not gonna be that.
Yeah.
But it's way better than that.
Okay. Well, that's
So
great.
I liked it.
That's great. I've been looking forward to seeing it, and mainly because it's not a UFC movie because I remember when it first was announced, it was basically like The Rock is in a UFC movie. It's like an independent UFC movie, which I thought was weird that they always framed it that way. But now I understand why, because it's not about like the UFC, it's about this guy and
It's about
his
this
life.
guy, but it's also about the UFC in the late 90s, when it was first really beginning. But this one takes place in Japan. They're doing that. They have a Pride league there, which is
Pride
the
FC, yeah.
UFC in Japan, I guess. And it's two names that like built the sport, and we've never heard of them. That to me is the point of the movie, is like these guys were so huge in this sport, and you don't know who they are. You've never even heard their names. So that's
Who's
the
the
point of
other
the movie to
guy?
me. I forget his name.
I saw like a there's a good actually, sorry to interrupt you, but if you want to watch a good TV series about it, there's a it's called Dark Side of the Cage.
Okay.
You don't have to watch every episode, but there's a lot of good episodes on like Pride and other things like that. Like
Yeah.
the beginnings of the UFC and all that. It's really it, there's some really great stuff in there, and it just shows you how it kind of evolved.
I like it because I actually did watch those first several UFC tournaments. I know for sure I watched UFC number one, where Hoist Gracie was in it, and it was a mess. Like there was times where one guy was killing the other one, and the referee was standing there going, "Looks good to me."
What do I
And
do?
the guy killing the other guy stopped and said, "I'm killing him. Shouldn't you stop the fight?" And the ref was like, "Yeah, maybe I should. Let me think." It was a fucking disaster because the whole point of selling it was going, "There's no rules. What's the rule? The rule is there's no rules." And it's like, "So I can gouge his eyeball out?" You fucking right. I want you to gouge his eyeball out. And then a
Please.
few episodes in, they were like, "Okay, no eye gouging."
Yeah, no eye gouging and like fish hooking and stuff like that. No punches to the dick.
Yes, because I don't know if that's in the no, that's not in the first one, but there's one where some guy just pummeled some guy's balls, and it's horrible to watch. And the guy tapped out. And then he got up and he was like, he kind of like, he went to shake the guy's hand, but he was kind of like, "You fucking guy, you rascal." Like he kind of, because what do? You go, "Yeah, that was fair, but you just, I can't have kids now." It's, but anyway, so it takes me back to an era where I actually paid attention and I was like, wow, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in the 90s there that I didn't know about. But the reason that I want you and Pat to watch
Okay,
it, it's
listen to
because
that.
The Rock has a special speech early on in the movie where he's trying to explain to his wife. He's like, "You," she's there, she's trying to support him or whatever, and he's like, "Look, you don't understand how good of a feeling winning is. Like, it's the purest feeling that it's the best feeling on earth, me winning." Two men go in, and it's just, and I can't explain to you. And she's like, she says something like, "Try to explain it to me. I'm not getting it." And he's like, "You're not a man. You don't get the feeling of winning." And I was like, oh, Jesse and Pat would totally be like, "Yes, Rock, I know what you're talking about." I don't, because I'm more akin to his wife, who goes, "Yeah, I really don't. I don't get it." But you and Pat would be like, "Yes. That feeling of winning, there's nothing." You might, yeah.
Well, I've never done any sports that were like one-on-one. I can see that. Like I played a lot of team sports, but in team sports, for me, I always feel like I just try and do my best to support the team, win or lose. And if we win, okay. And if we lose, okay. But I can see, like, if you're doing a one-on-one boxing, UFC, even something like tennis, where it's just one person against the other person, and you have to impose your will on them, then I can see that being probably the greatest thing ever.
Well, I know you could. You didn't have to explain it to me. I
Well,
know
I don't
exactly.
know why you can't see that. Why can't, like, just beating a person, and I don't mean it doesn't have to be beating them up, but just knowing that you're better than that one person and that it was all you. I'm not talking about hurting them, but it was all you. Like, nobody else helped you. It's not a baseball, football, soccer game where you have a bunch of people. It was just you and him, and one of you is going to be the winner, one of you is going to be the loser. I can see how that's amazing.
I know you can. I
But you
know.
can't.
No, I can't. Well, it's not that I obviously,
Intellectually, you can.
well, I know there's some raw animal fucking basic instinct in you guys that you're like, that's why we're fucking men, and you just like, let's take our shirts off,
Yeah, we're
and I'm
taking our
like,
shirts off.
I guess I'm just so accustomed to losing my whole life that it's gone. Like that whole
So
that
accustomed to
like
this. I've never won in
maybe if
my
I
life.
had a shot or two of that, like I'd be like, oh, now I get it. Now I understand what all these guys are talking
But what
about.
have you lost? What have you lost, though?
Every sport that I have ever played in my life.
Okay, but that's sports. Not everybody's good at sports.
Yeah. But
You,
that's
there's
what we're
a,
talking about. We're talking about sports.
I guess we're talking about, but you could have a, like a video game competition where you beat somebody, like The Wiz or whatever.
So
Or
games.
is it
Well, this
called The
is why
Wiz
I
or The
said it
Wizard?
because I witnessed you and Pat be like, games are the best fucking thing ever. Like at your cottage, you were like, oh my God, this is gonna be the best weekend of all times. We're gonna play games and I'm gonna
Yeah.
win them.
Yeah, there is something to say about being the best at a thing and beating a bunch of other guys and just really just dominating them, just getting on top and just imposing yourself on them and grabbing them and just throwing them down and just having your way with them. Just getting on top of a sweaty guy and just making them. There's just nothing like it. You just pin them down.
Right, I got another confession. No, not a
Okay.
confession. That wasn't
Oh,
a
good.
confession. I was happy
Good.
to watch that movie. I didn't
Was
have any
Mm-hmm.
presuppositions before
Mm.
watching that movie. I
Right.
went in with an open mind and it was good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to watch the Naked Gun remake. I
Yes.
didn't want to watch it. I was like, I don't know why. I'm just like, this is gonna be bad. It's gonna ruin my appreciation for the original ones. I'm gonna feel stupider after having watched it. Did you watch it?
I in the theater,
Oh, you saw it in the theater.
one of the few.
And I don't remember, obviously, that you watched it or what your opinion of it was, but I watched it last night and I was like, that's fucking great. I loved it. So I don't know
Yeah.
why I didn't I don't know why I was I think this one helped me by having such a low bar that I
Yeah.
was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I didn't love it. And I think it could be because I went to the theater and there's movies now, it didn't used to be this way, but there's movies now where there's movies that you see in theaters and movies that you don't see in theaters. And for me, I just wanted to see a movie. And I was probably between Naked Gun and another movie, which I think I saw both the movies that week anyway, for some reason. But I was like, I'll go see Naked Gun, whatever. And I realized like halfway through it, I'm like, I shouldn't have seen this in the theater. This would have been so much better on my TV. Like it just, it nowadays that you can watch movies at home comfortably on a nice screen, like there just doesn't seem to be the same theatrical experience for all movies.
All right. There was a joke in there that had me crying. I was laughing so hard. Was
Yeah.
when he goes to meet He's at Pamela Anderson's, like, I don't know. He him and Pamela Anderson are talking, and then he's getting really mad, and he's about to storm out, and he goes, "What is that?" And they look over, and He's like, that's my TiVo that I loaned you. And it has the first season of, what's he say? Some
Buffy the
obs
Vampire Slayer, I think it
Buffy.
was.
And I told you, do not plug that into the internet. There's a wire from your router going into it. She's like, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And he's like, they might have disappeared. And then it just goes in such a different direction. It had me crying. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, those runs that they do, like the one with the, I think it was the Black Eyed Peas or something, the him and the bad guy do. Was it Fergie or was it the, I think it was the Black Eyed Peas.
About what? I don't know what that means.
When they're talking about, I think he says like at the, it's near the end, and I forget why they're talking, but they're like, they keep naming the members of the Black Eyed Peas and their songs and
Right.
how great they are, and I thought that was hilarious. Like whenever they're like, it's more the jokes where they just keep kind of going and going, like the fact that they get coffee all the time, like everyone's just giving them coffees.
Yeah.
That was funny. But then like the take a chair joke, I was like, come on, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah,
They're
I
doing
didn't.
a take a chair joke and she takes a fucking chair out of the room. I
Yeah.
almost walked out.
That was pretty early on. Yeah, those are kind of lame jokes, but those are the type of jokes that were in the first one.
Yeah, but you gotta do
I don't
better
get
though.
mad.
That's why I like the TiVo joke and I like the Black Eyed Peas joke. And then they did the fucking joke that every movie ever has done with the silhouettes, and it looks like she's blowing them, but she's
All
like
right.
making a pie or something.
I
And it's
did
like,
laugh. I thought that was
fucking,
hilarious.
they did it in Austin Powers 30 years ago.
Yeah. But
And
this one
that was
had a
the last
dog.
time it was funny.
This one had a dog come out, and the guy, he was, it looked like the dog was blowing him. And the guy's like, I don't like this. He has some sort of reaction. He's like, I don't approve of this or something.
Yeah.
It made me laugh. I'm gonna admit it.
Yep, there's funny people in it though that don't do any, like Paul Walter Hauser is a funny guy and he does nothing funny.
He had a few funny things.
Maybe, I don't know.
He beats up some kids. He gives them all beer. Oh, that was funny. Yeah, there was when they go, all of a sudden they're in the cabin and they build a snowman and then they find a book of
Yeah,
spells.
that's
And
hilarious.
then the snowman's in a threesome with them
All
and then
right.
it gets jealous. It
You've
just kept
convinced
going.
me. This movie's funny. You've convinced me. But it's not, and I stand by that it's not a theater movie.
Yeah, I don't like watching comedies in the theater, I'll be honest.
Yeah, because there was one guy, as usual, just fucking laughing his dick off.
Yeah.
And I thought I told you about this, but he just fucking like the whole time. There's a thing over there. Bah!
Yeah.
There's a picture of OJ. Bah! Like
Yeah, it's so
he's just
distracting.
yelling, and I'm like, I get it. There's five people in this fucking theater. Like,
Yeah.
who are you performing for?
Yeah, I agree. Like I don't it's distracting. I got to sit here with like a okay, try to make me laugh movie. And
Yeah.
then it did stuff that I was like, oh, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming. I thought that was funny. I remember they was debates whether it was going to be like some of the jokes they did in the previews. I'm like, oh, that's a weird one to pick for the trailer. So people are like, that's the level of comedy that we're in for. It was probably the take a chair
Yeah,
joke.
they
They
did the
probably
take
put
a
that
chair.
in the preview. So you're like, wow, this is what I'm in for. So my expectations were nothing. I thought I was going to be angry. But yes, when the dog starts blowing him and the heat vision, I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, there's some funny stuff, but I just shouldn't have seen it in the theater. I'm gonna have to watch it again. It wasn't bad.
No, you gotta give it some time till you've forgotten all about it. Then
Yeah,
go in
that's
with no
probably it.
expectations, being like, I didn't think this was funny the first time.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a movie where you start watching it, something happens, and you go, I don't need to see the rest. It's
Maybe.
halfway through the movie. I was watching this movie called Donkey Punch. And it was, I think it was 40 minutes into the movie, and it's a little more than an hour and a half. And basically, this thing happens where they're on a boat and they accidentally kill a girl. And I was like, I don't need to watch the rest. I know what's going to happen.
Okay.
They're all gonna freak out and they're gonna try and hide the body or whatever, and these people are gonna want to do this and those people are gonna want to do that. And I was like, no, I'm not gonna do it. Like, it
Right.
was an okay movie up until then, but I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
It's been done. Don't have to watch it. And I was
Okay.
happy.
You never finished it.
No.
Well, who knows then?
Yeah.
Maybe it went in a different direction. You'll never know.
Maybe. Maybe.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah. I don't
Did
know. I don't
you
want
do
to talk about
anything else? Did
inherent
you watch
vice.
anything else?
I'll have to look.
Okay.
First two episodes of Pluribus are awesome.
Oh, good. Okay. I've been waiting for it.
It's gonna be great.
Okay. Very good. It's on Apple or something, right?
It is.
Okay.
Apple most of the time is pretty damn good. They have this new show called F The Last Frontier, and it's not good at all.
No, what's it about?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't care.
Is
It's
it a
not good.
Western show?
No, it takes place in Alaska.
Okay.
And it's just a bunch of convicts that were on a plane and they're escaping, and then it's just not good.
Okay.
It's bad. That's an Apple show. But
Okay.
saying like that's one of the few misses, complete total misses, I'm like, yeah, they're still doing really good.
Yeah.
Pluribus.
Therabus. Okay, good. I'll watch it. I watched the new Eileen Wuornos documentary. I think we watched Monster, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. I think you should watch it.
I did.
Did you? I like that they give you a much better idea that she's never telling the truth about anything.
Yeah.
Like that she's obviously, she obviously has had a lot of issues in her life, but you're like, I don't know if anything. She's always like, yeah, he was trying to kill me, and then they're like, no, he wasn't trying to kill you. You just shot him for no reason. And then she just keeps making up different stories, and I was like, oh, they should have had more of this in Monster.
Yeah, well, they were trying to present it a certain way, right?
Yeah, no, it was a love story about two damaged people, and one of them was a serial killer, and
Well, they
whatever.
also tried to make it seem like it wasn't her, that she was kind of not innocent, but more of a victim.
Yeah, victim of circumstance,
And
yeah.
so they couldn't all of a sudden throw in their stuff like maybe she wasn't a victim. Maybe she did murder a bunch of people. Like the first one, she tried to ramp up to kill him, the guy. No,
Yeah.
sorry. The first one, he was going to murder her.
Yeah.
She was self-defense. And then later on, she was having to talk herself into it. And so you're trying to feel for her. It's taking a movie and flipping the perspective, and I totally get that. To do it that way, because you can't be too confusing. You can't confuse the audience. We're too dumb. We can't sit through Inherent Vice.
Yes, we've proven that.
Don't make me question stuff in Monster.
Yeah. Well, you'll be happy to know that one battle after another is far more straightforward when
Oh,
you
I'm
finally
looking
get to
forward
see
to
it.
it. I can't wait to watch it.
When you finally get to see it, you'll be like, this is easy. I get it. It's one plot. I can follow it.
Pat says happy birthday.
Oh, thanks, Pat. It's
All
very
right.
nice of
It was.
him. Okay. So shall we talk about Buffalo 66?
Yes.
All right. This is a movie made by Vincent Gallo. He was essentially in charge of every aspect of it. This is his vision, and I think it turns out very, very well. I've always been, I don't know, weirdly sort of captivated by this movie because it's a weird little movie about a guy who's messed up and he comes home from jail and kidnaps a woman, but she also doesn't seem to mind that she's been kidnapped. He goes to his parents, and obviously his parents are strange. and they don't care about him. And he's just a really messed up guy. He wants to murder a place kicker for the Buffalo Bills. And most of the movie is just him spending this one day getting to the point where he's going to murder this guy. Which makes it sound much different than the movie actually is, because it's very little about him killing that guy and more about him just being messed up. Like, he kidnaps this woman, but he won't, like, she ends up wanting to, like, kiss him and have sex with him, and he's like, no, stop touching me. And like, everything she tries to do, he hates. And he just, it's just so interesting to see a movie about a guy who's just so fucked up. I don't know. I liked it. Apparently everyone involved in the movie hates Vincent Gallo because he was such a terrible person.
Oh
And
yeah.
he just yell and scream at people. He also did cast a 17-year-old girl to be his girlfriend. And there's a lot of scenes, like, I guess the scene where Ben Gazzara, like, motorboats her was improvised.
Oh yeah.
And it's weird that you would do that. Like, she was a child. I don't know why, if that's part of the movie, but I guess he just yelled and screamed at people the whole time, and he was just a dick, and he fired like half the crew. But for some reason, it turned out to be an amazing movie, and that maybe that's why, because he was such a dick, and everyone looks like they're not having a good time, and maybe they weren't. I don't know.
Yeah, I
Maybe
guess.
that's how you get good art sometimes, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I guess if he had a certain vision and they weren't, meeting his expectations, whatever. I didn't know. I don't know anything about this guy.
Yeah, he's notoriously sort of weird and creepy and angry. That's why he barely ever works. He's only been in a handful of movies in the 90s, and I don't even know, not too many in the 2000s, because he's an asshole, essentially. But maybe that the process of him being an asshole got people to where he needed them to be for this movie.
So this is totally made up. This movie's not basing it on something else.
Not that I know of, no.
Okay. Well, I was wondering how much of an he plays such an asshole that I found it tough to be like, why would anybody like him? He's playing such an asshole. Why does this girl keep staying with him? And I'm like, is this some sort of a fantasy that he's having that he can treat people like shit, but still have them see that he's a good guy on the inside? I don't know. And I didn't know if it was based on anything real or if this guy was totally playing a character and that's not what he's like in real life at all. It sounds like he's more wrote it from his own point of view.
Yeah, it does seem like it, and I think it is very strange that this girl does want to stay with him. There must be something psychologically to that. And maybe she thinks he needs taking care of or something. And it is sort of strange that she's that much younger than him. Like, it's all, but it all works. And it's all sort of not stuff that you normally see, which we see so many movies that we're like, when we see something different, it's refreshing. And you see a real, I guess, a real vision, it's refreshing. Somebody who doesn't care if the characters are likable or if it even makes sense, or that, like, Ben Gazzara keeps repeating the same line, "Daddy loves you," like a million times. And he's like, yeah, we'll keep it. He does weird stuff with the editing, like the how things are zooming into the screen, or I don't know what you call it. Like, it's a transition where it's coming out of the middle of the screen. He keeps doing that. It's just it's interesting. Like the guy obviously really wanted to do something different and he achieved it. And like people really like this movie. It's I've heard it mentioned a lot in like podcasts and things like that. And it's such a sort of a small movie that you wouldn't think so, but it's kind of really stood the test of time where a lot of movies from what is it, 27 years ago, nobody talks about.
One of these independent movies that they gave somebody power to create, and they made something worth watching. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I think I have seen parts of it before. I don't think I've seen the whole thing through before. Yeah, it's a weird movie and I liked it. It's tough to like him.
Very tough.
He's threatening to kill her a lot at the beginning. And it's tough to imagine that she doesn't believe him, because he is violent at the beginning when he grabs her and stuff. Like the only thing that he does to kind of to redeem himself is after he pees, then he comes back and he says, "Look, I want to apologize. I'm sorry that I scared you. I'm sorry I pulled your hair, and I need you to go." But then he's a dick. He's a dick before that, and he's a dick all the rest of the movie after that. So it's like, is it just supposed to be from that one scene that she goes, "Oh, I see that he's a good guy"? I don't know. They didn't give any background to her character for you to understand why she would stay in that situation.
And I guess that's intriguing that you're
Yeah.
like, why is she at a day? Is she at a dance class when she's a almost an adult? Why is she dressed that way? Like, why does she go with them? Why doesn't she, like, she has ample opportunity just to leave. Like when he goes to take a piss, like she could just leave and she doesn't. Like I think she really sees him as a as somebody who needs to be taken care of. Like I think she realizes sort of from the first minutes that she meets him, that this is a guy who's probably not going to survive in the world on his own. He needs somebody to help him.
In the first few minutes. That's you're getting that from that. I would say that maybe when she's at the dinner with his parents, that she starts to identify, like, okay, he's had a rough life. His parents are the worst people on earth.
I mean, no worse than a lot of people's parents, though.
Well, they forget who he is.
They do. They forget. That is like there are some funny things like that. That he's like, "Ma, it's me. Who? Your son."
Yeah.
And then she only cares about the football.
She only cares about football.
They only have one picture of him.
Yeah.
They have to find the one picture. Yeah, they're terrible parents, but it's not like they're. Like they gave him a home and brought him up. Like
Wow,
they're not.
you're setting the bar really low for parents, I think.
But I'm like, okay, so I'm not, I don't mean in the real world, but in movies, like there's a lot of parents in movies that are alcoholics and drug addicts and beating on kids and stuff like that, right? Like this is not that situation. These are sort of your run-of-the-mill bad parents.
I don't know. I
They're
think
kind of
it's
comedically bad parents. They're not scary bad.
okay. Sure. Yeah, they fucked him up though. They do enough flashbacks to his childhood that you're like, oh, these were they. That's why he turned out the way that he is.
Yeah, his father murders a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up. Yeah, but I don't know. It's just it's funny when people get to make one really good movie. And then they're kind of done. Like like Vincent Gallo has made, I think, one, maybe two more movies, and nobody cares. But there's this one bright, shining spot in time where he got to make this movie, and it was the movie that he needed to make, and then it was like, that's it.
I was wondering if, okay, this is kind of obscure, but you've seen Futurama, right? The parents of Philip J. Fry, the mother, is a huge sports fan. That's all she cares about is football, I think.
Oh,
Or
okay.
it's just all sports. And
Yeah.
Futurama came out in 1999.
Yeah.
That's that'd be a year after. Like, I wonder if that was the inspiration for that character. Because I've never seen a character like that before and
Yeah.
since, where it's like a mother who doesn't care about her son or so the neglect the mother has is for sports. It's such a specific thing that I'm like, that's got to
Yeah.
be influenced by this movie.
It
It
could
can't be a
be.
coincidence.
It could be the guy Matt Groening is the creator of it, and he's into a lot of sort of independent comics and films and stuff, m music. He's kind of a real sort of independent, off the beaten path pop culture guy. So it could be. I don't know.
Yeah, could be. I just wondered if there's got to be something. And then
Yeah.
is it a compliment? An homage? Homage?
Yeah, I would say it's a huge
Or is
it's
it
a
just a direct ripoff that you could be insulted by? Like, hey, you took my original idea and you put it in your cartoon.
I think something, I would say something that mainstream, it's probably meant to be a compliment.
Yeah.
That they're sort of, I don't know if they're not highlighting his work in any way, but it's probably meant to be some kind of a compliment, even though it's probably really just sort of a rip off.
I should go back and look to see if she's a Buffalo fan. Because if she's a Buffalo fan, then for sure it's some sort of a compliment to him.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, back to whatever you want to say.
No, I just I like this movie. I want to watch it again. I hadn't watched it in a long time. The one thing that I always find hilarious about this movie was that when it came out, the one of the huge things surrounding the movie, I mean, it didn't get like a lot of press or anything, was that Christina Ricci was morbidly obese in the movie.
What do you mean?
Basically, there were like articles written, and Vincent Gallo was saying in the press that she was monstrously fat in the movie, and he
Okay.
was angry at her.
Oh.
And you look back on it and you're like, what? That was the 90s. That's crazy. The 90s was nuts when they would just be like, this girl who's an average size person is just obese. That was what we used to live with. And they say like things haven't gotten better, but I think things have gotten better. Like they're not saying that anymore. When an actress is like the size of Christina Ricci, nobody's like, she's fucking fat.
Sure they are.
I don't think people are saying that.
They're not saying it without
Okay, like internet
repercussions.
people, but not like mainstream people. Like, I know people on the internet are awful, but not like, you wouldn't say the actress in your film was too fat or something like that, and
No,
you're
you'd get
mad
in
at her.
trouble. You'd get in trouble.
As well, you should, but that would be crazy to say though. Especially about somebody that size. I always found that funny. I remembered that for the past like almost 30 years, that was a big deal about this film, was that Christina Ricci was 17 years old and that they were saying that she'd gotten fat
Yeah.
and it was ruining her career.
And it was ruining her career. Okay.
Which, it
It's got to
didn't.
be damaging to a 17-year-old girl.
Yeah, it's awful. The things that people used to just openly say, and people be like, yeah, you're
Well,
right.
the guy sounds like a dick, Vincent Gallo, so it doesn't surprise me that he was saying horrible shit. I thought it was a choice. I thought that he picked her because he liked her or whatever. I thought that was a choice, but you're saying he was a dick and he was mad that she was a little heavy.
I maybe he didn't know she put on a few pounds. I don't know, but I just, and it wasn't just him. Like, I remember reading a Rolling Stone article where the guy was like, "You've gotten fat."
Yeah.
And she was like, "Yeah, I guess. I don't know."
I don't remember any of it because I didn't look behind the scenes at stuff, but I remember them saying that about the girl that played Batgirl in one of the 90s Batman movies.
Oh yeah, Alicia Silverstone, yeah.
Yeah.
And I watched Batman and Robin the other day and I was like, she is incredibly skinny
Yeah.
in that movie. She was even skinnier in Clueless, because I'd watched Clueless maybe a week or so before that. And I was like, yeah, she's a little more muscular. Like, she probably had to work out or something. But like, she's not anything other than incredibly fit in that movie.
Right.
That was, yeah, I remember that too. Them saying she was fat. And she had like a, they, I remember them saying she had a beard or something like that. But it was just how badly they photographed that movie, because it was very poorly executed in most ways.
I like the ending of this movie where they he goes through with his plan, and then they cut to his parents sitting at the grave. And I interpret that as that's in his mind. He's like, if I go through with this, this is how it's going to turn out.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to show up at his funeral. His parents are going to be like, can we get out of here, please? And his mother's going to be listening to a game, and nobody cares about him at all.
Yeah.
And he has the realization that, like, there's only one person in the world that actually cares about me, or maybe two people, because he
Yeah,
immediately
two.
calls up
Yeah.
his goon friend. And
Yeah.
who is that? That's an actor that I should know his name.
Kevin Corrigan. Yeah.
Yeah. Calls up
In a
him and
lot of movies.
apologizes in a dickish way. He says, you can't have anything, none of
Yeah.
all my stuff. I'm taking it all back. You can't have anything. Those belong to me. Stay away from my locker. But then he goes into the kind of the one positive thing is that he's like, I got a girlfriend.
Yeah.
She loves me.
Yeah.
And I got to get back to her. And then he goes in and he orders a during that scene where
The cookie.
he talks to the donut shop
Yeah.
worker, and he starts asking him questions and is like, oh, how much is this? How much is that? Okay, give me the biggest one. All right. How much is the damage? And the guy's like, well, that's gonna be $4. He's like, take it
Easy,
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 easy, easy.
easy. Yeah.
I felt bad for the donut shop worker there. I'm like,
Yeah.
he has to have this kind of an interaction for $4.
Yeah.
I would want to kill myself if I had to have interactions like that for $4.
But you see, it's like that's like him kind of turning a corner
Oh,
in
for
a
sure.
way,
I get
right?
it. I get it. It's him. It's
Yeah.
him. Yeah, I totally. But I didn't. I totally took the wrong message from it. I was like, oh, this poor donut shop guy, he's got a shuck and jive like that for $4. Fuck my life.
Yeah, and he's like, get your girlfriend a cookie. Don't eat that cookie. That's for your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
like it.
it's kind of positive in that
Yeah.
interaction.
It's positive that everything else in the movie is so like it does kind of give you that little jolt at the end, and everything else is so weird and sad
Yeah.
that you really, I don't know, I it's just such a strange thing that a movie that sort of small and troubled could be probably, I don't know if it's a classic, but it's still talked about, it's still watched. So it's always good to give people like their one shot at making a movie.
Yeah. Interesting flick.
Very interesting. All right, we have anything else to say?
Not off the top of my head. Tell
All
me
right.
something else about the movie. Some facts. I bet you have like 150 facts about the movie, and you're like, well, everybody knows all that stuff. I know nothing. Not
Okay, I'll give
one
you a
single
fact.
thing.
The song that Ben Gazzara sings in the movie was actually sung by Vincent Gallo Sr.
Oh yeah, okay. That's weird.
That was weird. As I've said, everybody already I've already said everyone hates. Oh, Mickey Rourke was paid $100,000 cash to be in the movie
Right.
because he was having hard times, I guess. And Vincent Gallo just put him in the movie and gave him like 10% of the budget, basically, as his fee.
So it's not really low budget if it was $1 million.
Like 1.5 million, yeah, something like that. Which is, no, it's not incredibly low budget, like, but
Where
for
did this
a
guy get the money to do that?
it from what I could see on the like on the title cards, just some investment companies or whatever, some investors.
It's amazing to me when you hear about this stuff. Like, really, the whole Kevin Smith made Clerks for 27 grand is
Yeah.
truly like an amazing
Yeah.
success story that he
It's
did that.
incredible.
Because
Yeah.
when he tells the story, 27 grand, like, that's a lot of money. I don't have $27,000 to spend on making a movie. Like, and for him at the time, he was like, I might be paying this off for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But then when you hear the story that this guy somehow raised $1 million or $1.5 million to make his stupid independent movie. And the other one I think of is Rian Johnson, who made Brick, right? That's Rian
Yeah.
Johnson, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
His budget was, I want to say, okay, now I could be fucking up. Like, it's either a $2 million budget or a $200,000 budget, but either one of those numbers is huge to me.
Yeah, I think it was 2 million, something like that. Yeah.
Well, that's fucking nuts, because I was doubting myself that it was that much, but he got the money from like his grandfather and like his dad, and I don't know where else. But like, do you have access to $2 million if you wanted to make a movie?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
No, but like, so the difference between Rian Johnson and Vincent Gallo, and Kevin Smith was that Kevin Smith had absolutely no contacts. Like he was like Vincent Gallo was an actor before this. He'd been in a few different things, so obviously he was a known commodity.
Okay.
But Kevin Smith is just a guy like you and me. Like you wouldn't even think to go raise money. Like when who was it? Like Sam Raimi. They just went to like their friends and neighbors and people, and they were like, can you give us some money?
Yeah.
And I think they raised like $100,000 or something like that. I forget what it was exactly, but like if you're a Hollywood person and you have contacts within the industry, you could probably get people to put up a little bit of money. Like who was it? Tarantino, I think he had an offer for somebody to make Reservoir Dogs for, I think, 1 million or 1.5 million. And he turned it down because they wanted like their girlfriend to play Mr. Blonde or something like that. So he ended up making it for $700,000, I think. But he had a few contacts in the industry. He was an actor, and he'd sold scripts and stuff before, so he knew who to contact to raise money, and like he had a producer.
Yes.
So
So in these examples, people that have some contacts, have a little bit of experience behind them,
yeah, a little bit.
you can see it being plausible that they might be able to raise some money.
Yeah.
But I don't think Rian Johnson had any contacts.
He did. He was I know he'd done some things. I know he'd done some, I forget what it was, but he didn't have like no contacts. Like I think he'd done a few script things or something like that, or he'd worked on, I know he'd worked on movies in some way,
All
or
right.
he was an editor maybe or something. I forget what it was,
All
but
right.
he had not a lot, but he had a few contacts.
I listened to him in an interview, and from what I remember, he just borrowed the money from his grandfather.
Okay. He may have done that for the most part. I don't know. Let's see how much this movie cost. Hold on. $475,000. So yeah, he probably got very few investors for a little bit of money.
All right.
Yeah. So you're right. I was wrong.
Oh, thank you.
He probably had very little contacts.
Yeah, and to me, that's a crazy amount of money. Like, you got to have some wealthy parents to have a lot of faith in you and say, like,
Yeah.
I need this much money, and I'm going to take a camera, and I'm going to rent a school on the weekends,
Yeah.
or just use the school where I went to high school and make this noir movie. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, he was at least he had a background though. Like I think he'd gone to film school and stuff. Like Kevin Smith, I don't think anybody would have taken a chance on him, so he had to take a chance on himself. Like
He went to film school.
I thought he dropped out.
He
Like
did.
how,
He still went.
yeah. Okay. So he went to film school and yeah, dropped out, but he didn't he it's not like he'd ever done anything that anyone had ever like that had ever proven that he could make a movie.
Right. So you've lost me. I don't know what your point is at this point.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure I have a point.
My point is that I'm amazed that people can raise that amount of money.
Yeah.
Like, if you had told me Vincent Gallo made this movie for $10,000, I'd say, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. It's like you told me, oh, Christina Ricci was his girlfriend at that time. Okay. I'd be like, oh, that's how he got her for free.
Yeah.
Right? Mickey Rourke would be like, yeah, how did he get 100 grand? And you're like, well, that was 10% of his budget. It's like, where the fuck did he get the other million? But your explanation is, well, he'd worked in the industry, so he probably had some pals. And okay, sure.
Sure.
Oh, I watched the show called The Paper, which I really liked. Have you
That's
heard?
the like the comedy, right? It's like the with the some of the people from The Office.
I don't know if there's more than one, but yes, it's based on The Office. It's the exact same style as The Office, but it's just more of the same. But I like it because it's original characters. So I couldn't
Yeah.
watch The Office because I'm like, this is just the British Office done in the US, and it's not as funny. And I'm so distracted by that that I can't get into the show, and I've tried many times because people say it's the best thing ever made. But it also, to me, it seems like the fact that I'd seen extras with Ricky
Yeah.
Gervais and like the way that they make fun of America taking his idea and making it into just a money-making lowest common denominator comedy. I'm like, that's what they did. They did exactly that with The Office, the US Office. I'm like, wow, it's so art imitates life.
I mean, I disagree with it because it did get better as it went on. Like after the second season, they kind of dropped the imitation
Yeah.
and made it into a whole different thing. But I see where you're coming from. Like I remember the first six episodes or something, like the first season was almost exactly the same as the British Office.
Yeah.
And then they wisely pivoted away from that.
I've watched more than two seasons, and
Yeah.
that's what people told me. Oh no, it
Yeah.
keeps getting better. It keeps getting better. So I watched it beyond that, and I'm like, it's not getting better. I'm not liking it. I don't know. How
Maybe
do
you just
you?
don't like it.
Yeah, but
Maybe.
I like this show, The Paper. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've seen like one or two episodes. I like
Really?
the yeah, I like the girl in it. I forget where I've seen her from before, but she's funny.
Which one?
She's like the main one, the blonde girl.
Yeah, she's fine. She's not really funny. She's just there.
She was funny in something I saw. It was maybe the paper. She's not as funny, but I remember her being in something else I saw, and she was really funny.
There's a guy in it named Tim Key or Tim K or something like that. Maybe it's Tim K. I don't know.
Okay.
He was in a great movie this year, the Ballad of Wallace Island. I might be getting the name wrong.
Okay.
But that's a great movie, and he plays a very funny character. So as soon as I saw him in this, I'm like, that guy's very good at comedy.
Okay.
And there's a girl in it who plays a Latino, or no, Italian. She's
Okay.
Italian because she says stuff about Italian. So she's got a really thick accent, and her character's funny. Like the character, the background stuff they give the characters, or the quirks, I should say, the quirks they give a
Yeah.
lot of the characters made me really laugh. That's
All right,
it.
I'll have to keep watching it. I kind of gave up on it after the first episode, but I'll keep
I
watching.
agree. The first episode I watched, I'm like, eh, I'm not that into it. The jokes weren't
Yeah.
that good. They did a take a chair joke or something, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I
Yeah.
think the second episode, I'm like, oh, this is better because now they're actually trying to use the paper as the getting them all motivated. They're trying to resurrect the paper, right? And
Yeah.
then the third episode just kept getting better and better, and I loved it. And I watched the whole 10 episodes like
Okay.
in a row.
I'll keep watching
Yeah, that's it for my
it. All right.
recommendations.
Okay. I'll start the second episode and I'll keep watching.
All right, then that's going to do it.
All right.
Next
We'll be
week, we're going
back.
to watch something and something else. They're going to be great.
American Buffalo and Breaking the Waves.
Okay, sounds
All
good.
right. I
Have
will
a
see
good
you this
week.
week. You too.
Bye.
Later.
Happy birthday, Dick.
Oh, again, thank you. So
All
many
right.
happy birthdays. On a flying thing. Getting high. Getting snow blind games. Pikachu and Chickapoo in the world beyond. Got a beat, got a heat on a phony string. Tear your world apart. Once the magic starts. Do you really want, do you really want to taste that? What's going on must come down. Do you want, do you really want to taste that? Baby, I'm losing ground. Getting gear, anything to get you out of here. Gotta go hit that ride to the setting sun. I gotta leave this mess behind. Gotta cruise on the blues, got a life to find. What you need is better read on a dotted line. Welcome to the show. Losing ground.